Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
I'm glad you're here today. This is a big day for us, and we're so excited that you're here to share it with us. How many of you like change? Anybody like change here? Great. But change is part of life. And the one that we're announcing today or formalizing today is a fantastic change. And we're excited about it. It's been one that's been in the works for many, many years, as a matter of fact. And we're just thrilled that you're here to celebrate with us today. I started last hour by thanking you for, on behalf of my family, for being here with us over these 26 and a half years. And Judy said, well, it wasn't 26 and a half. And I didn't realize I said 26 and a half. It's been 25 and a half years that we've served you here at Hope Church from the inception. And thank you for all you've done. I'm telling you, it is so exciting to me to look out over this group. The first group of people I looked out over were a group of four families. And when we started this church, and now to look out over you, and I said last hour, and it's all really true, you guys are so much better looking than that first group. So thank you very much for that. But it's pretty exciting for us to see things going forward, and that's what's happening. You know, when it came time to make this decision, and by the way, this decision was in our hearts for many years. I think 10 or 11 years ago, Pastor Josh and I started talking about this in a very serious way, and I felt at the time he was going to be the guy that would come along. And when you're in a ministry that you love so much and God's put inside of your heart, the idea of ever relinquishing it is very difficult. And that's one of the problems in church life, is that people hang on to something as if it was theirs. The Lord made sure to let me know a long time ago that it wasn't my church, that it was His church. It was His idea in the beginning. And so early on, the Lord began to lay on my heart something that had been on my desk forever in Phoenix. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how it got to my desk, but it stayed there. And it got in my subconscious. And it was this little quote that said, "Success without a successor is failure." And I also read a quote by Charles de Gaulle, or at least it was attributed to him years ago, that said, "The cemeteries are full of indispensable men." And then my favorite version was the Australian version of that same thing that said, "Today a rooster, tomorrow a feather duster." So, you know, that's not where we want to go with this. The bottom line of it is that God has a plan for the generations. That is fantastic. It's not a flash in the pan somewhere along the way. God intends to build line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, until we look more like Jesus and the church looks more like what He had in mind from the beginning. And so we start someplace, but every generation should take the opportunity to build upon what has been done that's worth saving and replace the things that aren't. And so that's what's going on here today. And 5 years ago, we decided that it was time to present this to the officers of the corporation, which, by the way, we are a corporation for legal purposes. And we talked about it with our officers and shared our heart, and they agreed that was a good idea. And then we went ahead and shared it with the entire trustee body, and actually it put it into our minutes that this was going to be the plan at some future date. And I began to feel like it was time to do this, not because I'm tired, not because I don't like what I do. I look forward to everything that is part of this life of mine. But I feel like it's time to refresh the vision, one that you guys will live out. None of us live forever, and I'm not aware of any reason that I'll be departing early, thank God. But the bottom line of this thing is that we need a vision that you guys can dream and walk into. And it's important that younger people come along with the same heart and the same mind and the same calling of God that can lead into this next place. And we began to talk very seriously about timing. And I felt like a couple, 3 years ago, that it was time to begin to move toward this. And so we made a plan. And today is the culmination of that plan. And I'm thrilled to say that as difficult as it is to come to the end of a chapter, it's exciting to me to go forward into the next thing. It's always been that way with me. God has always spoken about things to me that were scary and difficult and said, come, follow me. And I have found that that is the best policy. Because when he's calling you to do something, he's already providing the way to make that happen. And the Lord has provided somebody to lead this church that I am extremely thrilled about. It's not an easy thing to find somebody that you're willing to turn something like this over to. I said on that Sunday morning in January, it's like giving your daughter away in marriage. But I am so thankful that the man that's going to receive the role in this church loves this church as much as I do. And maybe more, I don't know, but he sure loves it. And I'm excited about the future, and I want you to be too. I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't mean it. And I'm going to ask Pastor Josh and Christy and the girls to come up here this morning. And my wife Judy is going to come and join us as well. And these are good people. I think Josh is going to get saved this year, as a matter of fact. And I want to say a couple of words to the girls here, because as I said last hour, any family in ministry, you're all in ministry. There's something that Paul talked about in the scriptures where he said, the weight of the churches, the concern for the churches comes upon me daily. And it's something that is hard to describe. But the Lord puts us in a yoke together. Have you all ever seen pictures of cows or oxen pulling a yoke in a yoke for pulling a wagon or something? That's the kind of terminology Scripture uses for what's happening here. It rests upon your shoulders, but you're able to pull great weight because you're pulling it that way, and usually you pull it in tandem with someone else. And it's not that just Pastor Josh is going to go into that yoke. Many people are going to go into that yoke, and the Holy Spirit's going to be in that yoke with you. But I want to say to you girls, there's going to be days when even though your mom and dad are with you in presence, their hearts are occupied elsewhere. The needs of people, the sudden things that come up, plans that as a family you will have and you're looking forward to, and something will come up and they have to be rescheduled or abandoned. These are sacrifices. These are sacrifices you'll be called upon to make at some level. But let me tell you this. Whatever you sacrifice in serving God's people will always come back to you. Make no mistake about it. God will not cheat you out of a good life. I know a lot of times people criticize pastors' kids. They're horrible in many cases. Can I get a witness? But I know that you guys have such a heart for God, each one of you, your individuals. And I'm proud of you. You will do well. You will do well as long as you follow Ruby. Is that right?
Yes.
That's right. All right. I was thinking the other afternoon when I was anticipating this morning, I was thinking about David, and transitions in the Bible often are pretty rough, and in life they're pretty rough oftentimes. It's sad to say that so many of these moments are not good moments, and we never wanted that to be the case. This ought to be a rejoicing and a moving forward, not a readjustment and a shock in all the ways that it often is. And I was reading transitions in the Bible, and there are several, obviously. Moses and Joshua being one is one example, but it was abrupt and it wasn't easy. David and Solomon was almost forced upon them by circumstances. And the one thing that was interesting about David and Solomon, David left three things for Solomon in particular. Number one, he left for him a throne. Josh, you're not getting a throne. Number two, he left his harem. You are most definitely not getting a harem. And then he left the king's mule. Not to worry, the mule is tied up out back. But, you know, the thing I want to share with you today is something that really means a lot to me. This church has heard this from the beginning. This is what the Lord spoke when we agreed to plant this church. I wouldn't have agreed to plant it if I hadn't heard this. We were in the landing pattern for the airport here in Springfield. I was coming to have a meeting with some folks about the possibilities, which I wasn't really excited about, to be honest, of planting a church here. The jury was very much out on whether I would do it. And in the landing pattern, flaps down, wheels down, ready to land, the Lord gave me a vision. And I've had a few, not a lot. And in this vision, I saw an elderly couple lying on their beds, and they were praying. They were holding hands and praying. They had some old-fashioned pajamas on. I knew it was kind of an old thing. And I'm watching that just in a brief moment that it happened, and I knew that this couple were praying for their kids who come here to go to school and had somehow been hurt in church and hurt in the ministry and weren't even following God anymore. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to build a church for people that have been beat up, burned out, hurt in life, and hurt in church. And then came the promise. I have a pent-up desire to pour out my spirit on this place because my name is here. I have this memento of that event that I want you to have as a reminder. It's beautiful. We really did it up right here on this. We may have to revisit that at some point. But I also want to say these words to you, Josh. Today is the day that we have edged our way toward for the largest part of the time we've known each other. The relationship we've developed and sharing the yoke of ministry has been a joy that has brought much rest to my heart and soul. I thought I'd get through this better this time. The mutual bond of love, trust, and respect the Lord has blessed us with has mirrored only one relationship that I have ever experienced in the ministry, and that is the deep love and unity Pastor Price and I have shared for many years. I can't thank you enough for the healing and the joy you brought to our lives at a time when the wounds and treachery of others had cut me and my family so deeply. You've always exhibited grace, wisdom, and the maturity of a man well beyond your years. Leadership is in your bones, a gift from the Lord that you carry humbly, but with the appropriate level of assurance. Today, with great confidence and thankfulness, I entrust to you both the stewardship and the mandate I receive from the Lord. The heart and the promise of those words, of course, are only foundational. Build upon them as you and your team see fit. You're a wise man, and the Lord will show you what to do. It's been the greatest honor of my life to have done my part here as the Lord enabled me. For reasons known only to Him, the Lord saw fit to entrust the dream and the vision for Hope Church to me some 25 and a half years ago. Today, it is my bittersweet joy to step aside in full confidence that you are the man the Lord has equipped and prepared for the future. I could not be happier with his choice. Josh Thompson, on this date, June 2nd, 2019, on behalf of myself, the trustees, and the congregation, I welcome you as the lead pastor of Hope Church. My deep love and prayers are yours, Pastor Gary. In addition, there's something that kind of interesting. On that trip up here, I had just done a wedding for some friends in Phoenix, and they gave me this brand new Bible that I brought to Springfield with me that trip when the Lord spoke about the church. And this was the Bible that I used until I flat completely wore it out. This was the essence of what we taught, prayed about, cried over, and saw the Lord do. It's yours. This time I'd like to ask the staff, the wives, and trustees, and everybody to come. We have some other words from leadership, and why don't you all be seated?
Thank you, Pastor Gary. This is really a momentous day in our church. This is the first time this has ever taken place. And just echoing some of the comments that Pastor Gary just said, I hope that we all realize just how rare this is, whether it's in church or in business, to have a transition that's really turned out to be a non-event. To me, it's just a testament of how God's fingerprints are all over this. They've been over this. He's gone before us years ago to prepare for this day. And it's also a tribute and an honor to the two men involved, Pastor Gary and Pastor Josh, their hearts towards each other, towards God. Without them, this would not have been possible to this degree. So we honor both of them today. As I remarked this past January when the transition was first announced, several biblical parallels come to mind. You know, the obvious, Moses and Joshua, but also Elijah, Elisha, and also, as Pastor Gary referenced a few minutes ago, and which is probably most applicable in this situation, is David and Solomon. In each of these situations, God used a faithful man to birth and establish something that forever changed the environment. We honored Pastor Gary two Sundays ago, and we'll continue to honor him. He's not going anyplace. As that man that stepped out in faith and obedience, and in doing so, forever changed the environment in this town and beyond, worldwide. It's important to note that in each of these examples, God also raised up a godly man of like heart as a successor, who served an apprenticeship, a time of preparation, under both his predecessor and God, before assuming the mantle of leadership and responsibility to lead God's people even further. To launch out from the foundation that had been established by the one who had gone before him, and with a double portion of anointing to lead the people, that's us, by the way, to possess new ground and achieve even greater heights. Today's the culmination of that time of preparation. Again, a time that God went before us many, many years ago to prepare us for this day. Josh Thompson, you are that man. You've proven yourself faithful in all areas during an extended season of preparation, in spiritual matters, in establishment of culture, in leadership, and in executing daily responsibilities. You have earned our trust and respect. You have a pastor's heart. You're fierce. You're relational. And God's anointing most definitely rests upon you. On this day, we affirm the authority God has delegated to you, and the corresponding responsibility and accountability for our congregation. The board, staff, and our entire church all stand alongside you and ask you to lead us now into this next season as you and we both follow God's heart. To not go ahead and rest just with the things we've already experienced and seen, but to go ahead and expect greater things. As with David, never stray from why God elevated you, and he did choose you. Your humbleness, your servant's heart, your passion, praise, and heart towards God, and your love for his people. God's command to your namesake so long ago when he assumed the mantle of leadership for Moses comes to mind today. And I so encourage you today, as we as one come alongside you, have I not commanded you, only be strong and courageous. We love you.
Thanks, Mark. My name is Jim. I'm one of the trustees. And I've had the privilege of knowing Pastor Josh through his entire ministry. And hopefully I can live long enough to see him till he's ready to pass the keys over someday. But the first time I saw Pastor Josh was at a Calvary Temple, a church that used to be here in Springfield. He was still in college. He came and sang, and then he was asked to become our choir director and our worship pastor. He'd never led a choir before. He'd never been a worship pastor before, but he jumped in and did that with a great job. And we got to go through so many things together. We went through several transitions at that church and ended up here. I've been around for he and Christy's relationship to blossom for all the births of their kids. And I can tell you, this guy, he's the real deal. You know, when Paul was talking in Timothy, he was talking about in chapter 3, the qualifications for leaders. They're to be blameless, they're to be of good report, they're to have their own household in order. And one thing he said, they're not to be a novice. And the reason they're not to be a novice is that if they are, sometimes they might get puffed up. And that's exactly what happened to Satan. He became puffed up with pride because he thought it was all about him. And I can assure you, Pastor Josh is not a novice. As Pastor Gary might say, this isn't his first rodeo, right? Yeah. So the other thing that comes to mind, when David was going to fight Goliath, many of us are familiar with that story. He came and he said, I want to fight Goliath. But everyone said, you can't do this. You're just a boy. You can't do this. Pastor Josh has never been a lead pastor before. But what David said that day is that while I was watching my father's sheep, a lion came and tried to steal one of the sheep. And the Lord allowed me to kill that lion. Then a bear came, and the Lord allowed me to kill the bear. And so just as the Lord delivered me from the paw of the bear and the lion, he'll deliver me from this giant Philistine today. So Josh, you've never been a lead pastor before, but you've killed lots of lions and bears with the Lord's help. And you have my confidence, you have our confidence. And so today, we just want to honor you. And again, like I said, the first service, just continue to be here. You are. You don't have to be Pastor Gary. It's a different season. Be you, and we're going to follow you as God leads us to the future. Amen.
Wouldn't be too much to ask. I'd love for you to stand one more time. We want to pray over this family today as they assume a place in your life that's going to speak, it's going to reproduce good things. It is a good day. It's a good day. I think of the scripture in 1 Kings 1:48. This was the one that stuck with me through this process. When David said, after Solomon had been crowned and put in place, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day while my eyes see it." I'm thrilled. I am thrilled to commend to you your new pastor today. And I want you to stretch your hands out toward him and his family as we pray over them today. May God speed toward the vision of your heart. In the name of Jesus today, Lord, we lay our hands on Pastor Josh, thanking you for your handiwork here. We're not imparting the gifts necessarily. We're just saying amen to them. But whatever we can impart, God, we do today. We bless your name for your provision. We bless your name for the leadership that resides in this man and the willingness that people will have to follow. I pray, God, you'll open the eyes of his understanding to the future, what he should do, the wisdom of God and how to do it, and all the resources come into his hand that he needs in order to do it. God, we thank you today for the future. You're already there. You're preparing us now to walk into it. And today, for Pastor Josh and for the family, I pray that the anointing of God will rest on their minds and hearts. I pray when assaults come and when the wicked one tries to confuse and distort, I pray in the name of Jesus that clarity will be obvious to them. I thank you for the people that surround them. I pray that they'll lift up their hands that hang down when that comes. Even as the men stood around Moses and lifted up his arms and the sun stood still. God, we pray today in the name of Jesus that you will do likewise. That you will cause things to happen that could not happen any other way. That the power of God and the kingdom of God be manifested in this house like we've all dreamt of and prayed for all these years. We thank you for it now. It shall happen. You don't tease. This is your promise. And so, Lord, we expect it. We thank you for it, and we walk into it by faith. Now, let your hand be heavy upon Pastor Josh, Christy, and these beautiful girls. Let their lives be enhanced and enriched forevermore through the process. We accept you today, Josh. We thank God for you. You're a blessing to this whole house. We receive your leadership in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, everyone. You can be seated for just a minute or two or 10. Yeah. Man, wow. We're so overwhelmed with just thankfulness for this church. It's amazing. My beautiful wife, Christy, who is amazing. Yes. We were talking last night just before we went to bed, and she was just sharing a couple of things that I'd sort of known, but I felt like I'd heard them in a new way, and I just wanted you to just share a little bit.
So when we were talking about today, we were talking about our excitement, but I said, I am just in awe of the Lord's faithfulness. And I'll tell you why. When I was 17 years old, I knew no one in this room because I am from Kansas City. And I was in my bedroom and having some time with the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, you're going to marry a pastor. And I remember running into my parents' bedroom. My mom was in there and I said, you're not going to believe what God told me. I'm going to marry a pastor. And see, all we knew were firemen, policemen. So my mom was like, are you sure? You maybe should go in and ask again. And I was like, no, I know. And so I ran in and I got on my knees and I was like, Lord, was this you? Is this really you? And what he showed me in that moment was today. And it was a person and a family that was going to change the culture of a city that I didn't even belong to yet. And it was going to change a church culture before church culture became really popular. And so I was telling him, I'm like, I'm so excited for us, but I can't help. The 17-year-old girl in me just had her prayers answered. And so I didn't meet Josh until I was 23. And at that time, he wasn't the pastor. And I knew in my heart when the Lord spoke to that, it wasn't a worship pastor, it wasn't children's pastor. It was pastoring a movement to change a city. And so when we met, I got to see this amazing guy, my best friend, transform into what God had for him as well. And so today we are just, I'm so excited. I'm emotional on the inside. I've got like the butterflies, but I'm so excited because the Lord still answers prayers after all these years. And I'm here to say, man, it's a good prayer when you see the things coming that you never thought you would see. So thank you.
I love you. I'm just glad our marriage is confirmed today. Wow. Thank you, everybody. There's like so many people to thank that I dare not go down that road of that. But I want to say to Pastor Gary and Judy, thank you. You have believed in me. The holy music is starting. I'm going to continue to use his line on that. The holy music. Believed in me, loved me. And I want you to know that as long as I'm leading, you will be held in the highest of honor in this house. That will remain your spot on that front row. Even if Judy has to wheel him down in another like 20, 30 years, that you will always be honored, always be loved. Both of you, I love you so much. I want to thank the trustees and our amazing staff, and I want to thank especially Mark, who is here, who's a vice president of Hope Church, and Jim, and Eric, and Andy, the four of them, just headed up this whole transition process. And guys, I can't tell you the amount of time that they put into making this really be a smooth transition. And I want to thank you. Would you give them a hand as well? Yeah. And I want to thank my parents, who have been so amazing. They have been the most amazing parents to grow up with. And a very special surprise today. My grandpa and grandma from Wisconsin surprised me, showed up today. You guys need to stand up. Stand up. Yeah. Come on. So special. My grandpa's turning 90. I know, maybe it's you can tell men's age, right? You're not supposed to tell women's age, but he's turning 90 this year and drove all the way from Wisconsin. It's a long drive to surprise me today. So special. What? Guys, also, I just noticed, there's just one other person I need to like mention today. And that is, there's a lady here named Lorena Meeks. And her husband was my first pastor who hired me and believed in me. Woo, I was not going to cry. It's like, I've been great all day. And he's gone on to be with the Lord. I believe he's surrounding us today with a great cloud of witnesses. And he hired me at 18. And I remember, I've told the story before, taking me up to this choir of 100 people. And on the way up there, he just hired me as this 18-year-old kid. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. He said, it's all right, just pretend like you do. And so, Lorena, I love you, and I thank you for all that you poured into us and into me all those years ago, and Leanne and Brandon, the family. Pastor Meeks was so amazing in that, in many ways, but I remember especially I was a new worship pastor, and he'd come up after the worship time, and he'd just tell the band what key he wanted us to be in. And he was a little musical. So he'd say, key B flat. And then he'd start trying to sing a song in that key. But the problem was the song he wanted to lead was not in B flat. And then it went flat. But I learned so much from him. It was just so special, so amazing. You guys, what an incredible gift it is today to be given to serve this church and to stand in this place. I tell my kids all the time that leading the church isn't about being in charge or being the boss. Leadership is about loving, and leadership is about laying down your life for those that you serve. It was so funny. Years ago, Emmy said to me, my middle girl, she said, if you become the lead pastor, she said, I want you to make a rule that dogs are allowed in church. So when we told them in December that I was becoming, you know, this was going to be happening, she literally, without a word, starts jumping up and down, screaming. I'm like, you're so excited. And she goes, because dogs are going to be allowed in church. That's not going to happen. But I love dogs. Charity. There's something about dogs today. I don't know what's happening. But what a gift it is to be able to love and serve this body. I was reading just this last week in Hebrews chapter 13, where it says, obey your leaders and submit to them. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I'm kidding. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. So the first part sounds really awesome and fun until you read the second part. I want to tell you today that it is humbling and it is a great joy, but it is a responsibility that I take very seriously to stand and step into this place to father and to pastor this community. And I'm honored that you've chosen me to do that. I was with my mom a while back. We were having coffee, and we were at this coffee shop, and she began to recount the story of how we came to know Jesus. And I'd known parts of the story before, but there were parts of it that I didn't understand or hadn't heard, and it was like I was hearing it for the first time, and I've been remembering and just kind of pondering it since. But my mom and my biological dad, they were divorced when I was a baby. They weren't believers. In fact, they were completely messed up, like most people that don't know Jesus, right? It's a wild story, actually. Sometime I might share a little more about it, but wild story. Honestly, this story could be made into a TV thriller. Tons of abuse. My biological dad tried to actually kill my mom on several occasions. Just crazy stuff. I was born into a mess. I was born into an absolute mess. And the dad that the Lord would give me and bring me, he didn't come until I was around 9 years old. He's here today and he's my dad. But before that, it was just my mom and I for those years. And we were poor. We were so poor. I didn't know we were poor, but we'd go to the celebration would be like every other weekend we go to the Dairy Queen. I get like a vanilla cone for like 50 cents. Cause back then they were, you know, it's so long ago. They're like 50 cents. And I was like, yes, this is the best. We're rich. I mean, that's the kind of like life we had. We just didn't have much of anything. And as my mom tells the story, there's lots of turmoil. And I was about five years old. And one day we were driving down the road, and there was this big sign out on the road, and it was this sign that said New Life Church. And my mom said in that moment, things had been so low and so difficult and in such turmoil that she said, just literally said out loud to herself when she saw the sign, I need a new life. We need a new life. So she pulled into the parking lot of this very large church called New Life Church. She walked right into the office with me in tow, this little five-year-old Joshua, which it's interesting that my mom named me Joshua because she didn't know the Lord back then. And it was a time when you didn't really name your kids Joshua. In fact, her favorite grandparent, her grandpa, said, why the heck would you name him something like that? And I was just thinking how special that is, that even when she didn't know the Lord, that the Lord had a plan. That even when she had no idea really who God was, that in that moment, he was gently drawing us. He was gently drawing me. So we pull into that church parking lot, and as we walked into the office of that large church, a receptionist says, how can I help you? It happens to me here all the time. She says, I need to talk to the pastor. And so that happens here sometimes, and you're kind of like, oh, do they have an appointment? And my mom didn't have an appointment. And she sat down a few minutes later. The senior pastor of this church comes walking down the hall and he says, what can I help you with? And she says, I was driving down the road today and I saw your sign. And she said, and I need a new life. I need a new life. So he says, well, come on back. And so we went back to the office and he led her to the Lord, led us to the Lord. And not only that, he helped us. He said, I want to help you. And right in that moment, this poor little struggling family of two, he gave me free tuition for 2 years to their very expensive Christian academy. Yeah. He connected my mom with a woman that discipled her for 2 years and got her plugged into a life group and just people surrounding her and pulling her in. And she saw the pastor a couple months later. She'd go and kind of check in with him. And she said, I think you put me in the wrong life group. She said, it's all married people and I don't really fit in. And the pastor says, no, that's exactly where you need to be because you need to learn to be a wife for what's coming. That moment changed the course of our lives. I was thinking that pastor had no idea that nearly 40 years later, that little boy that was in his office standing there would be up on a stage like I am today, stepping into what I'm stepping into. And in that dark time, in that mess in our lives, God's hand was upon us. Do you know that God's hand is upon us even when we don't know it's upon us? Even when you're running from him, his hand is upon you, calling us back in. And that was his heart. His hand was upon me. The word of the Lord went over my life even from the time I was in my mother's womb. I believe it. Even when my mom didn't know, his hand was on me. He was calling me. And every word that comes down and is spoken from the mouth of God does not go back up until it succeeded in what it set forth to do. I'm a word from heaven. It's a miracle I'm standing here today. Life could have gone so many different ways, but God had his hand on me. And that sounds like I'm bragging. I am. It's not me. It's him. It's not you. It's him. It's him. It's been his doing all along that's led me to this place and this step. It's been his doing and his hand on my life. And he is completely faithful to finish what he started. Amen? I hope that brings you encouragement today. Maybe you're in a mess today. Maybe some things you cannot see your way out. You can't even imagine a future today. Maybe you're stuck in a place of hopelessness. I want to tell you that if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. It's the truth. Guys, we have the most amazing name, Hope Church. I'm so glad that Pastor Gary didn't name us like Second Church of the Blackman Road. Or like First Charismatic Pentecostal Tabernacle, something, da-da-da-da. You know, like, wow, our name says it all. Hope Church. Hope lives here. Every time that we gather, literally the hope of the nations, Jesus is here. Every time we gather and we worship like we did today, hope is released in the hearts of people that walk through this place. You know, there's a ton of people that have stepped on this property just because of our name. Just because of our name, Hope Church, I see our church overflowing with people that are going to come from every realm of life to find hope, to find Jesus, to find deliverance, to find freedom, to find healing. Do you believe it? We are the carriers of hope. I was reading Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says this, and I have to close really quick here. I'm already preaching. The mantle has come upon me. I just need 2 more minutes. Who give me 2? Just kidding. 5. I'm not an auctioneer. Okay. Jesus said, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, he says, let your light shine before others so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. Church, we mostly talk about Jesus being the light of the world, right? But he's telling us, you're the light of the world. And I want to say it over us today. You're the light of the world. Think about it. You and me, we are the light of the world. If the world is getting darker, then we got to get brighter. If the church is the light of the world, then our role is to bring light to dark places. Guys, we are a Great Commission church. We are a Great Commission church. If society and culture is deteriorating, if darkness is increasing, if hate is increasing, negativity, suspicion, all the things that we see going on in the world, it is our role to bring the light. It is our role to bring a different spirit. This is a real distinction, what I'm about to say, but I want to just say it, that we are not waiting to escape darkness. We are not waiting to escape earth. I can't wait to be with Jesus forever. Heaven is going to be awesome, but we're not waiting here to just escape all the mess that's here. We're here to bring heaven to earth. We're here literally to bring the light of heaven to the world. And I refuse to give in to any kind of hopeless theology, because I know what the end of the story is. I know what the end of the story is. And it's a kingdom of God advancing and breaking in power. And we get to be a part of it. This goes way beyond religious routine, way beyond good Sunday morning sermons and services. This is about a way of life. This is about a kingdom way of life where we get to bring the goodness of God into every realm of society. Amen? How many want to be a part of that? I do. I do. I do too. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, he said, as the Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. He said it after he said that, it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Church, this is going way beyond Sunday church. what we're called to do. I want to just suggest to you, there's been a lot of good sermons in Springfield, Missouri. And with the hundreds and thousands of amazing sermons that have gone forth, the city is still not transformed. There's something more. There's something more. And we get to be a part of that more. Would you stand with me this morning? I could preach for another hour, but you're tired. I had a bunch of other stuff I wanted to say, but I'm not going to say it because I want to just lead you in a little worship. Is that okay? Some people are concerned I'll never lead worship again. Here we go. Matthew 5 is a simple prayer. It's a prayer of Jesus, and it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Can we just say that last part? Your kingdom come. You're a terrible choir. Or I'm a terrible director. I'm not sure. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can we just lift our hands all over this place? Can we just welcome that reality right now? Come on, church. Just begin to pray out loud. Just begin to welcome him. Just begin to welcome him. We want to be this. We want to be your heart on the earth. We want to be your influence on the earth. We want to be those that shine so bright in every place. Jesus, let it be. Just let it be in us. And our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your kingdom come quickly, your will be done the same on earth as it is. And on as it is in heaven, let heaven come to as it is in heaven, let heaven. Come on, just sing it out. Let heaven come. Ooh, let heaven come like we've never known before. Let heaven come. Oh, 'cause yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Forever, amen. And yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, yours is the glory. Forever, forever, amen. And yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, yours is the glory. Just declare it one more time. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. And yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. And yours is the kingdom. And yours is the glory. Forever, amen. Let's give him a shout of praise together. Come on. So that prayer We actually get to be the answer to the prayer. It's not just an idea. It's not a mental assent to something. You actually get to go do that and bring it this week. Amen. How many want to do that? I wish we could keep worshiping, but we need to go. There are children very upset for their parents, I'm sure. Maybe workers that are upset. God bless you all. We love you. We're so excited about the future. Hug about 100 people before you leave today. God bless you as you go.